Good morning. Good to see you. Good to be here with all of you this morning. Hope you had a good week last week, and glad to start off this week in the way in which we are. So we're talking about the hardening of Pharaoh. Well, we said that we would do this, right? We said that we would talk about, we'd look at a couple examples, and I love it when things come up in class, and I've got I sent an email to myself. I think I mentioned that to you guys. I just send like a note email to myself when something comes up that's kind of interesting. I'm sitting in the back and I'm just listening. Something interesting comes up. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. Send an email to myself, and I've got all these little emails of like one-liner things to provoke thoughts to talk about. And last time we talked about the, you know, there's not, I don't want to say that there's necessarily like this factual cycle of sin in terms of like a flow chart or whatever that's been existing for thousands of years. But that's kind of what we did. We kind of developed a flow of thought as it relates to sin. That's what we did last time. And we talked about the fact that sin, you know, there's temptations out there and people have desires. And then sometimes people fall prey to sin and they feel guilty and they repent of those things. And then sometimes people feel guilty and continuously maybe fall prey to a particular sin and they start to become enslaved by that sin, right? And then they move to being hardened, where not only are they enslaved to that sin, but they become completely a master to sin because they start defending sin. And that's what we don't want. That's amazing that that's up there, because I did not do that and I just saw that. Jason, I appreciate that. This is teamwork at its finest. So can't wait to see what the next slide says. is there one? Oh, okay. Josh, what's the next slide say? Would that be a thing if we both kind of went back and forth? All right, anyway. Excellent. Josh, I appreciate that. You know, Josh texts me all the time, by the way. I'm going to put him on the spot. What's the lesson about so I can find songs that are relatable? And he does a great job with that, and I appreciate that. And I think it enhances our worship just that much more, so I appreciate that. All right, so that's what we talked about last time. And then we said that now that we have the idea of maybe, you know, at least to some degree, how sin comes into our lives, and then sometimes how it stays in our lives, and then sometimes how we end up starting to defend whatever particular sin we're engaged in. Now that we have that idea, let's take that back to the hardening of Pharaoh. And part of the genesis for this whole thing was the question of, does God violate our free will, or is our free will violated when God hardens someone's heart? And I thought that that was a really interesting thought that came up in class. And we had some discussion about that, and we'll talk a little bit about that today. But we're going to look at this example of the hardening of Pharaoh. We're going to learn about that example and why what happened, and indeed what did happen. And we will answer questions like, what was the purpose? Does God, you know, violate free will or anything like that? And that will be your lesson for today. But we have in Exodus chapter 4 our reading, starting in verse 21 down to verse 23. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn, and I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn. So when God sent Moses to free the Israelites from Egyptian bondage, he said that he would harden the heart of Pharaoh. By the way, he hasn't yet, and chronologically that's going to make a difference. He's saying what's going to happen. And so God's telling him, hey, this is what you need to do, and this is what's going to happen, right? So even though it would result in the death of Pharaoh's son, because this sounds unjust, some explain it as maybe like hardening. Some have explained it away as God hardened him indirectly. God didn't directly harden his heart, but maybe indirectly his heart hardened his heart, and that doesn't seem to be how the text reads. Some people have said God doesn't work this hardness of heart in man. He has said to harden him who refuses to soften, to blind him who refuses to enlighten, and to repel him whom he refuses to call. Some people have tried to explain away the fact that God would harden someone's heart in these ways. And frankly, that just doesn't seem, like I said, to fly with the text. So how do we explain it away then? If God hardened the heart of Pharaoh directly, how do we explain it away? Well, we will explain away the fact that this was done directly without violating his free will and without violating the justness or justice of God. The hardening of Pharaoh also provides insight as to why God hardens people's hearts today. This still happens. We'll look at maybe some things that discuss that. But the hardening of Pharaoh, and I'm gonna go through this. We're not going to read the entire story, but we're going to read some verses that put it together. But first, let's define it. The word harden, how is it defined? There's actually three different Hebrew words for harden. And frankly, it's not going to make a huge difference which one is used where because they're all very similar. And I'll read you the definitions. To strengthen, prevail, harden, be strong, become strong, be courageous, be firm, grow firm, be resolute. That's one definition. Another one, to make hard, to make stiff, to make stubborn. Another one, to make hard, to make difficult, to make burdensome. So they're all three Greek words, and the definitions for the Greek words are extremely similar. There's some type of strengthening, some type of confirming. Another way to say it is to make bold or courageous. So like you might harden your heart and you might become more emboldened to do whatever it is that you're going to do, or more courageous to do whatever it is that you're going to do. We see that in this example with Pharaoh, certainly. So Pharaoh's heart essentially was made strong. It was made stiff. It was made stubborn. That's what happened. And even if God did so directly, we can consider what else we learn as we examine the evidence. As we look at the Bible, and as we read from Exodus, and I'll be in chapter 7, and I have all the verses here, so I'm going to go through them. As we read these, we start to learn something, and in this first section, we learn that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Chapter 7, verse 13, and I'll give you the verse each time, and then I'm going to read it. Chapter 7 and verse 13, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Chapter 7, verse 14, so the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard, he refuses to let the people go. Verse 22, then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Chapter 8, verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. Verse 19. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God, but Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord has said. Verse 32. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Chapter 9 in Exodus, verse 7. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. Verse 34. And when Pharaoh saw the rain, the hail, and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants, so that the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So I know we're skipping a lot of like context, but most of us know this story. But as you go through the first five plagues, and in the seventh plague, Pharaoh is hardening his own heart. So I understand the one statement that we can pull out and say, look, there it is. God said it himself. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. It's like, I understand that. I just read you a bunch of verses where Pharaoh did it himself. That's a lot. We have several here from chapter 7. We have three in chapter 7. We've got three in chapter 8. And we've got three in chapter 9. That's a lot. That's a lot of hardening of one's heart, is it not? But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Chapter 8, verse 32. Neither would he let the people go. And that's what it always ends up being. Something about him hardening his heart for some particular reason and not letting the people go, or and not heeding the word of God. So you see the pattern. He's not listening. He's not doing what's being asked. He's hardening his own heart. So in the first five plagues and in the seventh, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Then God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Chapter 7 and verse 3. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Well, wait a second, Saif. Chapter 7. That's before you listed all the ones where Pharaoh hardened his heart. I want to read real quick. I want to read chapter 7 where all this starts. Just verses 1, 2, and 3. Chapter 7, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you." Verse 4, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Okay, did God harden his heart here, or is he explaining what is going to happen soon? He's explaining what's going to happen soon. Does God have the foreknowledge of what's going to happen? Yes, God is omniscient. In other words, he knows everything. God's understanding or knowledge of what's going to happen is not God dictating what is going to happen. These are very, very, very different things. I know what I'm going to say next. And you know that I'm going to say something next. Are you going to dictate what I'm going to say? No. Right? Like, I have my will to do that. Is there going to be said something next? Yes. And now we are here. So the foreknowledge of something is not the dictation of something. These are two different things. God knows what's going to happen. He explains to Moses, hey, listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to do this. Aaron is going to do this. And then I will do this. And in between are all the verses that we read about Pharaoh hardening his own heart. Well, I mean, that's a lot of context that gets skipped when we go straight toward, oh, God violated the free will of Pharaoh. I don't think so. It doesn't seem to be that way at all. Ultimately, this is what will happen, is that the hardening of Pharaoh will come. Go back to chapter 9. So after chapter 7, after chapter 8, where Pharaoh's hardening his own heart, and then you go back to chapter 9. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh in verse 12, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. Chapter 10, verse 20. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. Verse 27. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Chapter 11, verse 10. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 14 and verse 4. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Verse 8 in chapter 14. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Chapter 14, verse 17. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. So yes, God did exactly what he was going to do, and it happened exactly in the order in which it's described. He says what's going to happen because he knows. Pharaoh does exactly what God knows is going to happen and hardens his own heart. And then God comes along and does exactly what he said he would do, which was harden Pharaoh's heart. Not until the sixth plague did God begin to harden Pharaoh's heart. There's your bullet point. Not until the sixth plague. The purpose, so hopefully that just removes any doubt at this point. What's the purpose? The purpose of hardening Pharaoh's heart? Well, to convince the Egyptians, to convince the Israelites, and to convince the rest of us and the rest of the world that he is Lord and he is God. He is truly God. And his plans and his purpose is what's going to be accomplished. There's lots of ways in which that might happen, the plan and purpose of God to be accomplished. But one thing, rest assured, God's plan and God's purpose will be accomplished because he is God. You know, it's self-evident in the definition. Another fun one that, this is totally off topic, well, not totally off topic, but kind of off topic. Another one is, well, who created God? It's an oxymoron. God is not created. If he were created, then he wouldn't be God. Done. Next. The idea that God would violate, that God violates free will because he hardened someone's heart is just, it's very shallow in its thinking. And we have to look at the text, and we have to take the text for what it says, and we have to look in the order in which the text reads. And we see that God doesn't have to violate someone's free will to accomplish his plan. He is God. It shouldn't surprise us that God can do things and things can happen and still, like, you can make your choice and God's plan can still be accomplished. It shouldn't surprise us. The all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present, the only being that is like this, in existence or to ever exist, well, that is some power. And yes, it's outside of our heads. How does that work today? The hardening of people today. There is a partial hardening or blindness that we read about in Romans. And if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 11, let's go there. This is interesting to me. A really, really, really interesting series of verses that we'll read. And it starts with Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, it reads, "Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come." Boy, that's an interesting statement. A partial hardening of the nation of Israel? Well, I thought it was just Pharaoh and Judas. Was this hardening or blindness against their will? Was it a violation of their free will? No. No. It was only after these had ample opportunity to hear the word of God and to obey the word of God. How do I know? Back up to chapter 10. And go to verse 16, and we'll read down to verse 19. Starting in verse 16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, so this is dated back then a little bit, right? "For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. But I ask, did not Israel understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry." Oh, they have heard. Oh, they have been told. It is the story of the Old Testament over and over and over and over again of people hearing and not listening. It is only after they repeatedly rebelled against God that we have this partial hardening. Go down to verse 21 in chapter 10. The last verse. "But of Israel, he says, all day long I've held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." All day long I've held out my hand, and they have just said, nope. Not grabbing your hand. And then we roll over to chapter 11. And then we see this partial hardening in verse 25. It makes sense. Was this hardening all of Israel? No. It was a partial hardening, right? That's what it reads. A partial hardening. How do we know? Well, there was a remnant at the beginning of chapter 11 and verses 1 to 7. It reads that the whole thing's about the remnant of Israel. "I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I himself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant, chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. Well, that brings up a whole other set of questions. What do you mean in verse 2, the people whom he foreknew? What do you mean he foreknew? What do you mean the elect obtained it in verse 7, but the rest were hardened? Remember, it was a partial hardening, so that makes sense. That there were some that were hardened and then some that were not. But this goes back to the same question that we asked earlier. Is God, well, did God violate these people, their free will, the ones that he hardened? There's a partial hardening. Did they have a choice? It says that they were elect, whom he foreknew. God knows what you're going to do. God knows what choices you're going to make today, tomorrow, and for however much he wants to know. That does not mean because he knows your choice that he's choosing for you. This is kind of a crazy thought, but just bear with me for a second. Is it possible? Is it possible, just possible, that God knew who was going to obey and who was not going to obey? So then is it possible that he knew who was going to get hardened and who was not going to get hardened? That's easy, right? It's like, yeah, okay, extend that to today. Well, say if you know, these people, that people, what if, you know, they've not heard this, that, the other. Is it possible that God knows before I'm even born whether I will obey the gospel or not? Well, an all-knowing God, yeah. That does not mean he's choosing for me. So it's definitely possible that God knew that I would be standing right here this morning in 2022. That doesn't mean that he made me stand here. So it's all really very simple when you think about it. What was the purpose of God's partial hardening here? The ultimate purpose, to bring salvation, for people to understand that there is salvation, it exists, and there are some who will choose to be saved and some who will not. We're given an amazing example over and over and over again from Pharaoh all the way to today. And the example still exists. And that's what we teach and that's what we preach. That you have a choice. Everyone here this morning has a choice. Everyone that's listening has a choice. Make your choice. It's yours. We have seen that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh because he was wicked and he chose to harden his own heart. We know that God sends a strong delusion in 2 Thessalonians to those who are wicked and who choose to harden their own hearts. If anything, I'm really thankful for that. Because what God has done is made it super clear for all of us that there are those who will listen, who will study, who will dig for the evidence, and who will find God. And there are those that are so stubborn because of their own choices and their own actions over and over and over again that will not. One thing that I get asked, and I think that people desire often, is people just want to know what the rules of the game are. I can tell you right now as a coach, there's lots of rules within the league. There's lots of rules in the game of soccer. There's lots of rules at different schools, how to recruit students, how to spend, you know, budgets, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not bothered at what the rules are. I just want to know what they are. And then I can go do what I need to do. Now that I know, I can go do what I need to do. And how often do you find yourself as an employee, as a student? Just tell me what the rules are. What are the parameters? Make it clear. Leave no doubt for me to know, hey, this is what you need to do, and then you will go and do it, right? Well, that's what I appreciate about God. And that's what I appreciate about the example of Judas, the example of Pharaoh, the example in 2 Thessalonians, the example in Romans 10 and 11. God has made it clear there will be those that choose to serve him, and there will be those that do not. And those that do will spend an eternity with him. And those that do not will spend an eternity in damnation. God has made the rules very clear. We should all be very thankful for that. And this is your time, if you've not obeyed the gospel, to choose. And I implore you, choose God. And if you're maybe not ready because you have questions about that, you're not sure about certain things, choose to ask. Allow us to study with you, please. There is nothing that we can't find together in the Word of God that we need to know. If you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.